Welcome to the Hills Church Podcast. Hills Church is a four-square church in Laguna Hills, California. Visit us on the web at hillschurchoc.com.
Today, we're going to be talking about transforming spaces, our soul. We're going to be talking about our soul. And this last birthday of mine, last June, the Lord kind of has started a work on my soul. And just to give you a little quick, and I didn't tell anybody that I was going to do this. Part of me was like, I don't want to say anything because then I have to be accountable. And, you know, sometimes you don't want to do that because if nothing happens, then, you know, you just don't want to have to, like, you know, have the shame of it didn't work. But I just knew that the Lord was dealing with me with my health and with my weight, because over the years you just kind of start giving in and giving yourself liberties that you probably shouldn't. And so, sorry, let me move this over here a little bit. I don't want to fall off the carpet here. But as I was just asking the Lord, how do I do this? Because I just don't want to go on another diet. I don't want to just, you know, stop eating sugar and, you know, whatever. And so as I started walking and praying, because I like to walk, and when I walk, it's usually when I talk to the Lord, and he started dealing with me, and he's like, you're carrying this weight because you've got a lot of forgiveness issues in your heart that you need to let go of. And honestly, during the process, as I started letting some of those things go, it was like the weight just started, like, lifting literally off. And I'd get on the scale, and I'm like, oh, it's working. So finally, after I lost 10 pounds, I confessed to my husband, yes, I lost 10 pounds. And he's like, way to go, honey. You know, and then I started sharing, you know, what the Lord was dealing with me. It was my own issue of the forgiveness in my heart that I needed to take care of. So let's bow our heads as we get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are a forgiving God. And Father, just as, you know, we've experienced the physical rain on this land, Lord, we pray today that your Holy Spirit would reign in our hearts, soften the ground of our hearts, Lord, and just let the seed of your Word be planted. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So our lead-in verse that we are kind of building off of is Matthew 27. Oh, and I get to run the PowerPoint, and I don't even know how to do this. So let's see. Did I just turn it off? There we go. Yes, I learned. Okay, that's a milestone for me, because I get intimidated by technology. But our lead-in verse is Matthew 22, 37 to 39. So if you all want to follow along with me and read, let's read this one together. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So as we look today at the soul is made up of three parts, which, you know, we're all familiar with. It's the mind, the will, and the emotion. And I've discovered, at least for me personally, because this message is real, like, I think if nobody else gets anything today from this, I will, because God has really been dealing with me on this. But I've learned that we usually live by our emotions. And in living by our emotions, it leads our mind, and then we start acting it out. In Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Instead of living by our emotions, we should be leading our lives with a renewed mind that keeps our emotions in check, and that we can, that we should keep our emotions in check, and that way then we will walk in the will of God. Which, that was a big thing to me, because it's like we think, well, the will for us, the will that God has for us. No, it's, we need to walk in God's will, not our will. And I think sometimes we get that gets a little backwards. But our soul is really the essence of who we are. Last week, Jeff mentioned in his message that whenever God's getting ready to make me grow in the spirit, he has to do a housekeeping, a soul keeping in me in order for me to grow, which means I usually have to get out and start, like I did last June, start dealing with the stuff that are in the rooms of my heart, my soul, my emotions, my will, and my mind. And we often think that nobody sees when we've got stuff hidden. Sometimes we just think, well, I can hide it. Nobody's going to see it. You know, only the Lord, you know, knows what's going on. Even then, sometimes we are like, no, you can't have that. But we do show when we're holding bitterness, because we start leaking. I don't know if you've been around people who have a lot of anger issues, but that's part of the leaking that happens, is when we're angry, because we've been holding stuff so close to our heart. And sometimes what happens is when we're holding stuff so close to our heart, we kind of like treasure it a little bit, you know, like it kind of becomes a part of us, so then we don't think we have to let it go. We can just, it's like, that's my thing. And it's kind of like we look at it like a savings bond that earns value the longer that we hold on to it. I don't even know if anybody buys saving bonds anymore, but my grandma and grandpa were really big into that. But it's kind of like we start to treasure those things that we haven't forgiven in our life, and then we turn them into treasures. Matthew 16:21. Oh, I don't have a PowerPoint yet for that. Matthew 16:21 and Luke 12:34 both say, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know, there's a saying, one man's junk is another man's treasure, right? Well, I kind of look at it as, you know, somebody else who's been hurt, and they do something to poke at me or stab at me, then why do I decide to take that in as a treasure? Because we do that. We really do that. Whether we want to believe it or not, we do that. So why do we treasure our unforgiveness? It's not like we wake up in the morning and we go, okay, Lord, bring on the hurt, because I just want to fill my treasure box up of unforgiveness, right? I mean, nobody does that. I don't, but I do. That's the sad part, is that I do that. And when I started thinking about how we treasure, this is like a crazy thing, and I didn't want to put a picture up because it's too demonic looking, but has anybody seen The Lord of the Rings? Okay, you know that character Gollum on there who looks like a little demon? Well, he's got the ring, which is like this powerful thing. And when he finds it, he turns into this ugly thing. And he kind of is like, you know, Justin does a little imitation, this precious. You know, he thinks it's precious. Well, that's what we look like when we hang on to the things that are not, that are not supposed to be there. All of those hurts and those bitter things. You know, there's those sayings, hurt people, or drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. We've all heard those before. If anybody listens to Joyce Meyer, you've heard those, because she always says that. But did you know that unforgiveness is not even a word? What was really crazy to me was when I was typing this out on my Word document. Sorry if I have to just do this because I can't see you. when I was typing on my Word document, there's always this red line every time I write the word unforgiveness. And I'm like, Well, I'm spelling it right. I mean, I'm like trying to do all the different variations of it, and I'm like, I'm spelling it right. Why is it red? So I went, I thought, well, I'm just going to look it up in the dictionary. And as I looked it up in the dictionary, it's not even a word. The word is forgiveness, which to me, and it's a verb, which means it's you got to do something. And I realize, I'm like, oh my goodness, it is not even, that's not even an option for us to be have unforgiveness, because it's not even considered a word. I read this article, and, you know, as I was just saying about, you know, we turn into these little golem characters when we don't, when we harbor all this unforgiveness in our heart. And I just decided to Google forgiveness, and I found this article in Johns Hopkins. And if you have your YouVersion, I put the link in, had Jeff put the link in there for me. But it said this: whether it's a simple spat with your spouse or long-held resentment toward a family member or friend, unresolved conflict can go deeper than you may realize. It may be affecting your physical health. The good news, studies have found that the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health, lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels and sleep, and reducing pain, blood pressure, and the levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. And the research points to an increase in the forgiveness-health connection as you age. Now, that was huge for me, because we live in a world, I mean, you can't turn the TV on without a pill for one of these things here, which says to me that there's a lot of us living with forgiveness issues, a lot of us. I mean, honestly, we are sick people, is the bottom line. And I really, we'll get to that. We have to forgive those who trespass against us. Even in the Lord's Prayer, you know, Jesus prayed, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Two verses down, which I think should always be included in the Lord's Prayer, as I've discovered in Matthew 6:15, it says, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's huge. God won't forgive. I mean, he's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. But he will not forgive us if we don't forgive. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, so why? Because if he's a loving God and a merciful God, why won't he forgive us? Well, I think it's because it's a form of pride. I think when we hold on to our forgiveness, that what happens to us is that we start to think we know better than God, that we know better than ourselves. When we don't forgive God, well, I posted it on my Facebook yesterday. It's like we're mocking what God did for us at the cross, really. If you really think about what when we don't forgive, it really is like saying that the cross didn't matter, that Jesus' life didn't matter. And when we don't forgive, now this is something you might want to write down, as Jeff always says, because this was like something that was really interesting to me. Let me read Ephesians 1:7, and, I lost it, John. Ephesians 1:7, it says, 1:7 through 10, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood for forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. Okay, this is what you can write down that the Lord showed me. When we don't forgive, we delay God's plan and our purpose. That was a big wake-up call to me. When we don't forgive, we delay God's plan and our purpose. The bottom line is that Jesus died. I mean, you have to think about that. He literally went to the cross and was willing to be beaten, and his blood was shed for, I mean, we just did communion last week. His blood was shed for our forgiveness. We have no we have no reason not to forgive. In fact, when we don't forgive, we discount what the cross did for us. It makes it kind of void, because then what was the purpose of that? Mark 11:25 says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. So how do we take that trash that has become our treasure, and how do we get rid of it? Well, the first thing that we have to do, and one of the things that I had to do, is I had to declutter my soul. And that's actually harder. It's hard to do. I mean, it really is. Because, again, some of that stuff has been in there for years, decades, and it has taken root. It's like the weeds. Like, whenever I weed, it's like that's when the Lord talks to me, because you're on your knees. Most of the time, you're on your knees. I mean, it's hard to pick a weed when you're standing. You're on your knees. And some of those weeds are hard to get out. Some of them are easy. You just pluck them out. And then there's those, you know, those really hard ones that are so deep and big. And sometimes you only grab the top. You don't get to the root of it. And it's not even worth trying to go to the root, because it's so hard to do. I mean, do you guys know what I'm talking about? I got a lot of them in my backyard right now that I'm, like, not happy about, but that's what happens when we don't deal with our forgiveness. That stuff takes root. And even though we pluck the top off, the root's still in there. So you got to get the tool, which is the Word of God, and dig it out. You got to take it. You know, there's that one special little tool in the gardening that's like, looks, it's kind of like a little, I don't know, it's weird. But you can stick it in the ground and grab from the root. That's what the Word of God is. It's a sword. It's the thing that pulls out those deep roots, and you got to wash yourself with that. But the first thing that you've got to do is you've got to go and ask the person to forgive you. Right. Okay. Well, you have to go to, so if you're, if, okay, let's start with this. If you know you have somebody that you have an issue with, right, you need to go to that person and humble yourself and say, you know what? Whatever is going on between you and me, let's deal with this. Let's make this right so that God can begin doing in both of our lives what he wants to do with us, what he wants to heal in us, so that we can, like as we were singing today about be glorified, so we can glorify him. So it says in Matthew 18:15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he listens, you have gained your brother. And that goes for sisters, because I think women are probably worse at this, because women can be so, you know, I'm a woman. I've had issues with friends throughout it goes all the way back to elementary school, you know, when girls are on the playground and they don't like you. And I mean, you can watch Orange County Housewives and see girls have issues. So, ladies, this is like really big for us to do, because we're probably worse at it than the guys. But the second thing that we need to do is we need to take an inventory of... Sorry, you guys. I think I keep hitting it. Okay. But I don't think I'm in the right place. Okay, yeah. We have to take an inventory. We have to take an inventory of, because sometimes there's stuff that happened and maybe even the people aren't even here anymore. They've gone on. We need to take an inventory of that stuff, because sometimes something about, and then when you ask the Lord to show you those things that are in your heart that you've kind of held on, that you've treasured, that what I do, and it works, it really works, is I write it down on a piece of paper. Something about, you know, seeing it, because, you know, we're all about, we got to hold something, we got to be able to do something. Something about seeing that thing on a piece of paper makes it brings it into the open. It's no longer buried in the darkness of our heart. It's on paper, it's out in the open. You don't have to show it to anybody. Because sometimes there's things you don't want others to see. But you need to put it on a piece of paper. You need to invite the Lord in on that moment. You need to ask him. In fact, you literally like need to lay it at his feet. You have to do that. You need to pray. You need to ask him to take that from you, because that's why he went to the cross, so that we could lay that stuff at his feet. We need to lay it at his feet. And then what I do to seal it up is I like to tear it up and throw it in the trash, like physically remove it from your life. And I am telling you, I can't stress enough how much this helps in those times. And you almost need to do it just like you take the trash out every day. I mean, I do in my house. Just like taking the trash out every day, you're going to keep a jump on it if you make this a practice in your daily life. Because every day, like I said, you don't wake up expecting to be hurt. But it just happens to us. Take it to the Lord and throw it in the trash. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path." When we hold on to this stuff, we're offending God. I mean, that's a whole different twist on that. When we hold on to the stuff that makes us anxious, that makes us angry, it offends God. And then the last thing that we need to do is we need to bless. That was a big thing for me in this, my process of this lifting my emotional weight, was the blessing. You know, when you remove something, you need to fill it again, and you fill it with blessing. And you bless those. Luke 6:28 says, "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." And doing this removes any hold that Satan would want to have on your life. He is so sneaky. You know, like there's that passage where Jesus talks about, you know, you remove all of this, you know, the spirits, but then more come. You got to fill it with the Holy Spirit. You got to let him refill that hole. Just like when you pull weeds and you have to kind of put dirt where those weeds were at, and you have to kind of re-soften the ground, or, you know, rake out the ground so that it looks nice. That's what you're doing when you bless those who hurt you. And it's not easy, but I'm telling you, I am standing here. I remember the day like it was yesterday when I was walking and I was praying and I'm like, "Lord, I've forgiven. I don't know why these things keep coming back in." He goes, "Because you're not blessing." I'm like, "Ah." And as soon as I started blessing the things that I've carried that as unforgiven, it was like I literally felt everything lift off me. And it was truly amazing. But why decluttering matters? It's because, just for that reason, it makes room for the Holy Spirit to begin the transforming work in our heart. Our goal is to become like Jesus, to be in his image. And if we don't get rid of that, then, let's see if I, okay, yeah, let me go on next. If we don't do that, then we're not going to be a shining light to the people around us, just like we sang in the song today. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all with unveiled faces reflecting the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, which is from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And why do we need to do this? Because it creates unity in the body of Christ. The last place that should be full of unforgiveness, and that's not a word, is in the church. And the sad part is the church is probably the place that most of the forgiveness issues are. I'm not kidding. I talk to people all the time who they don't like church because it doesn't do anything for them. What is that? That is not what Jesus came to do. He did not come to just make us not any different. We're supposed to stand out. We're supposed to be a light. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be a difference in the world. And for whatever reason, we've just decided that forgiveness is okay. I mean, unforgiveness is okay in our life. And it's not okay. Matthew 18, 21 to 22 says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother who sins against me?'" And I'm looking at this kind of like even within the disciples, because think about that. They all had little things against each other because their personalities and all that. I mean, look at Paul and Barnabas. They even had a little where they had to part ways. But Peter asked Jesus, and Jesus said, not seven times, I tell you 77 times. Well, we were talking the other night at Women's Bible Study, which little plug for the Women's Bible Study. Ladies, this is a really good thing. We've been doing these nameless women, and it has been so cool seeing how God's speaking to us about us through these ladies. But anyway, we were talking on the other night about, you know, the number seven. And the number seven is completion. Well, when Jesus said 70 times seven, he was saying it's done. It's over. It's no more. And that we need to live by that. You know, Satan's whole mission is to keep the body of Christ divided. The more divided we are, the weaker we are. And that's a scheme of the enemy to keep us weak. Not forgiving weakens. Not forgiving weakens the power of the name of Jesus. That's huge. I mean, the thing was, I had this little like moment in the car, and I've made this playlist on Spotify just called The Names of Jesus. So it's all the songs that talk about the name of Jesus and what the name of Jesus does. And I was listening to it the other day in the car, and I'm like, okay, I hear these songs that his name can move mountains. I hear this song that, you know, he can part the sea. He can, you know, but God, and he can heal. I mean, yeah, that's the biggest thing. And I'm like, God, I don't understand why as a believer I can say your name and it doesn't seem to do anything. I mean, if we're really honest with ourselves, I mean, how many times have you prayed in the name of Jesus and you're like, okay, well, I think it comes back to this issue of unforgiveness. I think it comes back that we've diluted it because, you know, we've got the Holy Spirit in us, right? I mean, when we invite Christ into our life, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Well, he can't dwell in there with when you've got this, like, trash in there. He can't fully be what he needs to be in your life. We're supposed to be able to pray in the name of Jesus and say, you know, be healed. And people are supposed to be healed because Jesus said, you do things in my name, it will be done. Well, I think it's because we as the church are living with so much of this forgiveness issue. And, you know, and it's funny because even when people use the name of Jesus in a negative way, I mean, we know people who use the name of Jesus in a curse word. I mean, they've taken the most powerful name and the world has changed it into a curse. That is terrible. I mean, that is probably, to me, that is the most offensive word. And what's really sad is, like, now it's just become a part of people's lives. Like, that's just what you say when you're like, you know, I'm not even going to say it because that's not how I want to use it. I mean, we got to really, if we're going to be the church that God has called us to be, we've got to be very observant about these things in our life. You know, because forgiveness is the key to our unity. Let's not be divided with this. You know, the enemy has one up on us, I'm sad to say. His team, they're all in unity to destroy us as a body. That's what the plan is. Because the longer they can keep us in our little, you know, negative ways, the harder it is for Jesus to really move in our life and for us as the church to make a difference in the world. Psalm 131 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. That's why people don't like to come to church who are believers, because there's no unity there. And why go to a place you don't feel the presence of God in, because there's no unity. We need to be in unity. Even like Isabelle was saying in worship, let us come together in worship and in unity, praising the Lord. And Colossians 3:13 and 14 says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If someone happens to have a complaint against anyone else, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also forgive others. And to all these virtues, add love, which is the perfect bond. When we're in unity, we reflect love. And love is the very thing that allows the glory of the Lord to shine in our life. And how do you know that you... Oh, I know. You need to forgive yourself. That's the other thing. I think we miss that sometimes is, you know, we get so busy forgiving others that we don't think about the things in our life that we need to forgive for ourselves. Our own things that have done to, we've done to ourselves that have caused some of our unforgiveness. And those you know because somebody taps on it and you get a little uncomfortable, right? You know, or somebody says something that kind of makes you, it's that wound that stays open. So be sure to ask the Lord to show you what things in yourself, because shame is a scheme of the enemy. Again, he's using all these little tools to try to ruin the church. He's doing a pretty good job, I've got to say. But he also wants to keep us divided inside. He doesn't want us to be in unity with the Lord. He wants to keep us separate. So when we don't deal with our unforgiveness, but it sounds better. It's easier to explain. When we don't deal with it, it keeps us divided. And then where we go back, we're walking around like we're leaking. All right. Yeah, we're coming to the end here. When our soul is in unity and we are in unity with others, then love is what others see. Once the clutter of unforgiveness has been cleaned out, then we are able to fill our soul with love and we can love those around us so much easier. I mean, and it's crazy. It's hard. I mean, it's hard, but it's easier when we let God do the work. Not on our own, but we let him do the work in us. And once the clutter of unforgiveness has been cleaned out, we're able, we're able to fill our soul with love. And if we can't love, if our hearts are filled with clutter of unforgiveness. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all things, have unfailing love for one another. Unfailing means it's supposed to be a constant. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Love is like the antibiotic that just kills everything. If you look at it that way, it will heal. It will heal you, and it will heal those around you. We won't have love. We won't have love in our hearts if we are cluttered with forgiveness issues. Our goal is a transformation. I mean, that's our whole series, Transforming Spaces. We need to transform the space of our soul if we're going to be what God has called us. And forgiveness. Forgiveness came, first of all, in the currency of the blood of Jesus, was paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ. God paid for the priceless gift of forgiveness through the blood of his son. We need to just kind of meditate on that for a little bit. Because I think sometimes it's so far away, it happened so long ago, that it's not as relevant now as it should be. But it's probably should be more relevant today than it was even then, because our world has just gone chaotic. So the big idea in this whole thing is when we forgive, it expresses our love for God, and we live with a soul that is whole.